rhubarb pie. Rhubarb pie. It might rain tomorrow, then it gets some before it dies. Rhubarb pie.
Well, Linda Perkins, it's maybe a little early for rhubarb pie, but not nearly as early as it would be for homegrown tomatoes, which is what we usually play yeah. coming into Food Talk. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. I'm a little cold.
I know. I didn't even wear an apron because as I went through my extensive collection, I discovered I did not have one with front and side airbags, which is what I would have needed for the drive-in today. Holy cow.
Well, we need to talk to Becky Tonkin about that. I'm sure she could come up with something for us, some specialized sort of apron thing. Well, snow and ice aside, here we are.
Mm-hmm.
It's Food Talk.
Well, and there's a reason that you played that rhubarb pie song.
There is? Besides, I just needed a food song?
No, the pie next week.
Oh, my gosh, because Pledge Drive coming up.
Yeah, and I know that you guys may not love Pledge Drive as much as we do. And when I said next week, it's actually 2 weeks away because this show is the first and third Monday of every month. But here at Food Talk, we just have a little show, and we have a big goal. And so what Marianne and I do is we bake pies for you. You pledge. And I don't know what amount, but you get pies. Woohoo!
Yeah, we'll talk about the details next time we're here, but we're here like the day before Pledge Drive is over. It actually starts a week from today. And so you will have scant opportunity to claim a pie. So we're giving you a heads up that mm-hmm. you need to remember to call during Food Talk on the 20th. If, in fact, you want a pie.
Yep, you make your best deal with the radio station, and then on top of that, you get pie.
That's right. And, you know, I'm still baking a few pies from last Pledge Drive because not everyone who claimed a pie as their extra thank you gift has taken advantage of their pie yet, because people save that pie for reasons unknown to me, but they are. And so just recently I notified the folks who have not claimed their pie and said, okay, now ball's in your court. You need to just contact me when you want your pie, because I'm tired of saying, you know, hey, how about that pie? But there is something about pie, Linda. What is it?
I don't know, but I can't even think about that, because that last thing you said, shouldn't there be some kind of rule that at a certain point they forfeit it and we get it?
And then we sit down and eat pie and gloat.
Pie-palooza.
I have never thought about it. I always tell people there's no statute of limitations on pie, but maybe there should be.
No, that was a really greedy thought. I feel bad now. It's because I don't have an apron on.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Apparently, that's where all of your, you know, like, courtesy.
Powers. It's where my powers come from. And courtesy.
It is really, really unusual to see you without an apron. Saw you all day yesterday with an apron on.
Yeah.
We baked our little brains out yesterday, or cooked our little brains out yesterday.
Yeah. I did the Sunday supper thing at the Food Web. Everybody I know who's ever done it just loves it. And I just wanted to do it, and it was great. So it's not a class.
It's not a class. It's just an opportunity to cook together. We're just kind of getting a jump on getting some dinners together for all of us, so that when we get to a night where we don't have time to, or we just don't feel like cooking, we have something delicious to warm up and eat.
Yeah. So it's 10 in the morning till 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Yeah. 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And how it works is you make four things. And I looked at the menu for this Sunday, and I feel bad because, and I've said on this show before, I am always experimenting on poor Dale. And at some point he doesn't really hit the wall, but just a tiny bit. And he's like, I want something regular without beets or anchovies. And so the menu was lasagna, scalloped potatoes with ham, vegetarian chili, and then meatloaf and cornbread. And that was all so regular, and it just sounded so good. And I thought, I'm going to do this. So I signed up, and it is so fun because First of all, you're not cooking in your kitchen all alone. There's the community thing of just conversation and fun. And Norma Hernandez, you remember her from our last show, she did it too. And she was just fresh back from Puerto Rico, and she had all kinds of stories about that. And that was really fun to hear. But also, like when it comes to the chopping of onions or the making of sauce, it's not a class, so you're not doing every single thing. Just all the jobs are divided up. So one person chops all the carrots you need, and one person chops all the celery, and one person's making sauce, you know, tomato sauce, and one person's making bechamel, and it goes so fast. And it's so delicious, because I don't know if you know this about Marianne, but she used to own a restaurant, and her recipes are gold. So we had the meatloaf last night when I got home, and Dale loved it.
It is
really, really good, but he loved it, which matters a lot to me, you know?
Yes, I agree. And I think that meatloaf, I have always resisted coming up with a more glamorous name for what is actually meatloaf.
Yeah.
Because there is something about it that sounds so pedestrian that that unless you have had a really good meatloaf in the past, you might just pass on it because mm-hmm. yuck. But that particular recipe is so good, and it's because it's jam packed with veg. Mm-hmm. And so it's really moist. So you don't have to wrap it in bacon, top it with cheese, pour ketchup over it. You don't have to do any of that. You just eat it. It's good.
Even though it's a class, it's impossible not to learn something, because yes. Marianne had us, you know, we mix up the meat and the vegetables and the spices with our hands. And then very carefully, you just kind of very gingerly, like a little baby, you pat it into this loaf shape and put it in a pan. You don't smush it down. And she said, you don't smush it down because then it'll be all tough and weird. And I didn't know that, because all the meatloaf I ever made was tough and weird. And so that was a revelation. And just
be gentle. It's the same way with burger patties. If you don't squish them, you know, don't put a weight on them when you're cooking them. Don't press them in a tortilla press. Just pat them into the shape you want them to be in, and treat them gently.
Yeah, gingerly. And I didn't know that. And that's a revelation to me. So just for that, I'm glad I took the class.
Well, the thing is that
not a class.
It's not a class. The wonderful thing about cooking with others, one of the myriad wonderful things about cooking with others, is that you always learn stuff from everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody in the room knows something that the rest of us don't know. And mm-hmm. I just love that. Aside from the fact that if I were at home making four entrees for two people and spending that 4 hour chunk of time doing it, I would feel more like I was doing a chore.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And when I do it with friends or new friends or old friends, I feel like I'm just having a social event. So the nature of it is really different. So anyway, and it's really something that any of us can do. Invite friends over and cook a bunch of food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's always so much more fun. Yeah. That's why I think holiday cooking can be fun, because you've got all the mostly women in your family in the kitchen helping. And it's just fun. It's communal, and it's just really fun.
Yeah.
I like that part of cooking.
We did have a token man, one very brave soul yesterday.
Oh, and he was so wonderful. And I thought this was so funny. I mean, I laughed at myself, not with myself, at myself. He was talking about this woman, I thought his girlfriend, but it was his cat. And so he's just saying all these wonderful things, and then he got to the biting part, and I'm like, what? And so I felt like the stupid one there. But yeah, nice talking to him.
Hey, you sent in a recipe. Let's talk about this because I know it's up on the website. Thank you to Wendy D'Agostino at North Coast Food Web for getting things up on the website when we send them in under the recipe tab there on at northcoastfoodweb.org. You sent in a delicious sounding recipe.
Yeah. Now, this is a recipe for a loaf of bread, kind of a garlic bread. And it is a variation of a recipe from the 1964 Pillsbury Bake Off, second place winner.
Woohoo! I wonder what won first.
Well, I don't know, but I think it's second place, like, you know, Reuben Studdard and Clay Aiken, because this is the one that stood the test of time. So it's a loaf of bread, and I have been trying for so long just to come up with a repertoire of bread that I can just make, and it can be delicious for holidays. And this was a really good and interesting loaf. So you, it's not laminated, but it kind of seems laminated. You just roll out little discs of dough and fold them in half with garlic butter between them and stick them all together in a pan. And the recipe's up on the food web, but it is kind of like those biscuits that just kind of flake apart, you know, but it's very garlicky and very good. And so it was old timey. It's kind of a grandma bread. My house is cold, so it took quite a while to raise, but, it was really good. And I just liked it. And, it was something just flaky and good and wintry. And so,
and you suggested that it could also be a sweet bread if you substituted the herbs and garlic for cinnamon and butter and cinnamon sugar.
You could really put anything that you want in there. So what you do is you roll your dough out. You make a yeast dough, let it rise, roll it out, and then you cut like biscuit size, like 3.5-4 inch rounds, and then you kind of make like a taco out of them, and you put either a garlic butter that you make in there, but you could put anything in there, and I even think that you could put fruit in there. I mean, I think that you could
like a pie filling kind of thing.
Kind of thing, yeah, like a cinnamon apple kind of thing in there, and then you just fold them in half, and then the round side up, you flat side down, you put them in the pan, and you just arrange them like you were stacking a bunch of tacos side by side.
So it's like an accordion.
Yes, and then it rises up, and then you put it in the oven, and I think it's a versatile recipe, though I've only tried it with the garlic butter, but it was really good. I liked it.
Well, I'm inspired to try it because we have leftover sauce from yesterday making the lasagna, and it would be really good dipped in that.
Yes.
Those little garlic breads dipped in sauce. Yeah. I would rather have that than pasta, frankly.
Yes.
If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Food Talk on Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, Astoria, Oregon, KTCB 89.5 FM, Tillamook, Oregon. We're streaming at coastradio.org, and we're on your mobile using the TuneIn app. Food Talk, if you do not know by now, is a co-production of Coast Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. I'm Marianne Myers. I'm here with the fabulous Linda Perkins, and we're talking about home cooking.
Yeah. Well, and I took, since we have last been on the radio, another class at the Food Web, too, and that was the pretzel making class, pretzel making class. Now, I have tried making them before on my own, and I actually dissolved my pan.
What?
Yes. I didn't know that you can't have to make them in a non-reactive pan, and I made them in a Kefalon pan, and you make the pretzels, and then you boil them in this basic solution that you make with baking soda, and it actually dissolved my pan, and it was such a fiasco, I never tried again, but I love soft pretzels.
Mm-hmm.
How did you, in our teeny tiny town, find somebody who knew how to make soft pretzels?
Isn't that weird?
Yeah.
This town is full of people that will surprise us every single day about something, and Josh Holmes, I'm trying to think why we even found that out about him. I don't know. But he is a chef down at the Supper Club and used to have a pretzel company.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes. So soft pretzels. That was a fun one.
Yeah, it really was.
Yeah.
And so it's a process because you make a dough, you rise it, you punch it down, you roll it out, you form some pretzels, and then there's the scary part of boiling them and baking soda and water, and then you bake them right away. And, oh, man, it was just so much fun. But now I get it. I understand it. And I know what I was doing wrong at home. And
Have you gotten a new pan?
No. Well, that was a long time ago. That was probably 3 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And we all know I have lots of pans.
Yes, you do. You probably don't even miss that one.
No. But it was great. It was very eye opening and so much fun. And and also because he used to have a pretzel bakery in Seattle, it was really fun listening to him because everything to him is completely intuitive.
Yes.
And then he'd have to be like, oh, I'm not making these on my own, you know.
Wendy had to keep dragging him back to reality.
Yeah, not reality, but it was just it was so intuitive to him, and it's really fun to see somebody operate like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And also to be able to use that dough in so many ways, because we made buns and had sliders that
those
night out
delicious.
Of the pretzel bun,
yeah.
Pretzel dough. And so there were all kinds of things. I mean, it's a good yeast dough.
You know,
can do stuff with it.
I hate to keep going on and on about the food web, but so that's a thing that's so cool about the classes or the Sunday supper thing at the food web is when the class is done, then you enjoy a meal together that you have made. So like yesterday for the Sunday supper, we made our four entrees plus our cornbread, and then Marianne made this really delicious salad, and then we had a bunch of scalloped potatoes with ham, and it was just fun. And she made this salad, and it had these little tomato berries. What are they?
I don't know. I didn't know you were going to say that.
Sorry.
And I didn't look up the name of them, but they taste to me. They look like a tiny yellow cherry tomato,
yeah,
right? Or
yeah.
A grape tomato, but really tiny.
Yeah.
And they are the color of, like, I don't know, they're just a brilliant yellow, daffodil yellow.
They're very yellow, and they're not as translucent as a tomato normally is. They're approaching kumquat.
And they're from South America or Latin America, and they taste to me like the combination, like a blend of a berry and a tomato.
They taste exactly like that. So they're much sweeter, but they're really good. And it's just fun to have something that's different and good. I never would have known about them. You got them at the co-op.
Yep.
Yep. And they were delicious. And so those were just thrown in the salad of the community meal that you have at the end. And then the pretzel class at the end of that, Marianne ahead of time had made pretzel buns, and they were delicious.
Wendy made them, actually.
Okay.
Credit where credit is
okay.
due. But yeah, they were delicious.
And then you made?
Oh, we had Reuben. We had Ersatz Reuben sandwiches because we had fabulous sauerkraut left from Ira Sullivan's sour fermentation class. So we had Reuben sandwiches.
And salad.
We almost always have salad because you have to have salad.
But it was just delicious. And it's just so fun to sit down with everybody after you have the class and just have a meal. It's just a really lovely community thing. So I love the classes at the food web.
Well, I think that the main thing about them, well, I mean, certainly life skills. And so for things mm-hmm. like the kids cooking camps where kids are actually learning how to use a knife and peel something and cook something mm-hmm. real, not just toast or microwavable, but actually cook, mm-hmm. That's a life skill. And that is a whole nother layer of worthiness when it comes to cooking at home. But I think for those of us who are grown up and have had some experience with cooking, just the community building at this point to me is a phrase that's pretty trite. And I always try to think of a different way to say it because I'm kind of tired of hearing it. But it is really true that when you cook together and eat together in any setting at all, mm-hmm. You learn things about each other. You feel differently about each other. You build a camaraderie because you have done that exercise together, and then it ends with something lovely. Mm-hmm. So I just think that there can't be enough of that in the world, let alone in Clatsop County. In the whole world, we should be cooking and eating together all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
They say that's what makes families strong. Why wouldn't it make a community strong?
Yeah, exactly. So I think that wouldn't it be great if we could do a great big have you seen those community dinners that show up once in a while, go around on the internet once in a while, where you set long tables down the center of a street?
Oh, yeah.
And people, you know, with white tablecloths and everything. And
they just
and
bring what they're going to have
for
dinner.
Hundreds of people or somebody's cooking for them. But it's
okay.
A big dinner.
Okay.
And I rather than have a potluck, which I think is a very cool thing too, but that is a solitary cooking experience.
Yes.
That
yes.
is then shared, which yes. is half of it. But if we were all to cook that big dinner mm-hmm. and then sit down to it and it was 100 people, wouldn't mm-hmm. it be nice? I'm still thinking about that. I think that might be a really good idea.
I think it is.
Yeah. I think it is too. So what are you cooking tonight?
I'm just going to
you
make
still
the
have
lasagna.
Food.
Yeah, I'm sorry,
Bake-off,
but it was really good. What's your favorite class that you've ever had at the
oh,
food
gosh.
Web? That's a hard one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I like them all for so many different reasons. We've done several pie series, and I like that because it's completely different than entrees, which is often what we do. I love the basic techniques.
Yeah.
I love that. That's a 5-week course, and that is for people who really want to learn how to cook.
Yeah.
And have varying levels of experience. Sometimes we have really experienced cooks who just want to come cook with somebody, mm-hmm. and that's great. But what I love about the basic techniques course is that you see people go from sometimes trepidation or just, you know, that sort of dogged determination to get better at something you have to do, mm-hmm. to gaining confidence and learning what part of it they really love and, you know, coming out of it feeling more empowered. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a big challenge about home cooking is getting past that I'm tired, I don't want to, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. When in fact we all find time to squeeze in something mm-hmm. we want to do, and so if you can learn to be joyous about the food thing,
yeah,
you really
that it's not just a chore.
Yeah, that it's not just a chore. Yeah.
And I think it's a big thing when there's so much that's and not that it's not all bad by any means, but there's so much that's so convenient, you know, we can just buy something, stick it in the oven, buy something, stick it in the microwave. But there's just kind of that giant hump to get over of how do I learn to cook? Mm-hmm. It's such a daunting thing. It's a big thing. It's like right now, if you told me to go build a chimney, yeah, I'm going to go pay somebody. Just like if you're like, you know, go teach me how to cook.
Yeah.
I'm going to go buy something frozen.
Yeah.
Because it's a big daunting lump to get over.
Yeah.
To get over.
And I think also it is with processed foods, there is a certain flavor profile that is present in almost all of them. And if that is what your palate has been trained mm-hmm. to appreciate,
yeah.
then doing a variety of foods in a home cooking setting is like a retraining of your palate mm-hmm. to learn to like that mm-hmm. instead, so that you're not, it's not like quite so much sugar, quite so much salt, mm-hmm. quite so much fat.
Yeah.
And so you have to, it's more subtle and it's way more varied when you cook at home. You get really a lot more. It's not all cheese. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not all about cheese.
It's not all cheese. My favorite thing from this show by far. So what have you been cooking?
Well, tonight I'm going to roast a chicken.
Oh, see now, that's what you always do when you're trying to get sweet on your husband.
I know, because he likes chicken with mashed potatoes and gravy, because who doesn't? Anyway, I have a beautiful chicken that the folks at Blackberry Bog do chickens. A lot of our local small food producers have chickens. And so it's very possible to get a great chicken in this town, either from the person who grew it or from, you know, very specific places that you shop. So I'm just going to do the I really like the silver palette version of baked chicken because, first of all, you roast it at 450, so it doesn't take very long.
Okay.
And the other thing is between the skin and the meat, you just put in pats of butter and fresh rosemary sprigs and pack the cavity of the chicken with like a whole head of garlic cut in half, some salt and pepper. I usually put a half a lemon in there too. And then just stick it in the oven. You don't have to baste it. You don't have to do anything. You just put it in at 450 and, like, depending on how big your chicken is, mm-hmm. in about 45 to 60 minutes, it's done. And the pan drippings are just so good.
Because they're butter and schmaltz.
That's right. And you just add a little flour and some milk and you got gravy. So It sounds like a big deal. Let's make a roast chicken, but it's so easy. Mm-hmm. It's like 10 minutes of prep and then sit around while it cooks. So that's what I'm doing tonight.
Yay. Have you made anything the last couple weeks that notable?
You know, I have mostly been cooking for other people for the last few weeks. And so I don't know if we've talked about this before, but have you noticed, and I'm sure you have, like when you go somewhere where there's an appetizer buffet, mm-hmm. if there are deviled eggs in any incarnation, they go first.
Oh, yeah.
What is it about deviled eggs?
I think that's always true. It doesn't matter if it's a funeral or a brunch or what.
Yeah,
I don't
cocktail
know.
Party.
I think it's because I think it's because it's the thing. Oh, this sounds really sexist, but I think men recognize them and they know they love them and they know they can't be messed up. And so it's like, it's a really easy thing and it's not scary.
Yeah.
But everybody loves them.
Everybody loves them. Yeah. And I, you know, for me, as a person who gets nominated to do apps a lot, there's so many ways to change a deviled egg. So mm-hmm. if you can just cook them, peel them, devil the insides, and I just use mayonnaise and some Dijon and some salt and pepper. I do not mess with it because I want to put a million toppings on top.
The thing for me that has really changed my deviled eggs for the positive is putting the yolks in the food processor with the mayonnaise, and then oftentimes I have to add a little bit of water too. But you'll know once you get going. But it takes what I would describe as a crap load of mayonnaise. No, it takes more mayonnaise than you think it would. A little bit of mustard, you know, and salt and pepper, of course. But that it's so ridiculously smooth.
Yes,
it has really changed them. That's the one thing I've done that really makes them a lot better.
I agree.
Yeah,
totally. And I like piping the eggs. If you're doing dozens of eggs, just putting them in either a plastic bag with the corner cut off, or an actual piping bag mm-hmm. with a tip in it, and just filling those things in no time.
Yeah, just so much easier. And then you don't get the big air pocket in there too. Sometimes when you blop it in there, it just blops crooked, and you got a big pocket of air.
The other thing I like about it is that you can do a whole lot of toppings, and people can see what's on there. So I love them with an anchovy on top, mm-hmm. but if you don't like anchovies, you see it. You don't take it.
There.
People love it with like crispy pepper bacon and eggs.
Smoked salmon.
Yep. Yeah. Olive tapenade.
Yep.
Just so many ways. To smoked salmon and dill. Yipes. Anyway.
So this, before we have our next show, I think is the Food Web's Farmer's Market. Is it the?
It is always the third Thursday, which this particular month is going to be the 16th. It's
kinda
always
early.
The third Thursday, River People Farmers Market, 2:30 to 5:30. And that would be where you could probably find eggs. You want to make some deviled eggs? You can come find eggs. You can find meat. You can find fish and produce. And that is year-round now. We've changed the model. So if you are familiar with the Thursday market, it's still on Thursday afternoons. But instead of once a week for a few weeks in the summer, it's once a month year round now, which is kind of very cool. And it's at the Food Web building on 18th Street in downtown Astoria. And you can go to northcoastfoodweb.org and find out all about that.
And congratulations to one of our farmers. Kelly had her baby.
Oh my gosh. We got a brand new boy, and it's time we had a boy because there's been a spate of girls.
I know, and he's practically in first grade. He was like almost 11 pounds.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that's good. I was worried that we were going to have to, like, import boys later because it seems like – now, I don't know every single person who's had a baby in the last year or two, but the ones I know have
associated
all been girls.
With the Food Web, yeah.
Just it's totally wonderful. Anyway, wonderful. New babies, always
Yay.
A good thing. Yeah, very good. And we're all going to cook for Kelly for a little while so she can rest up and enjoy that baby. And that's another thing that's so cool.
And teach him his ABCs because he's so developed.
You know, being able to take food to somebody,
yeah,
whether they're sick or not, just need it. You know, maybe mm-hmm. they just had a procedure, or maybe they just had a baby, or maybe mm-hmm. they are sick.
It's a gesture of love.
Yeah. TakeThemAMeal.com. It's a website that's free, and you can set that up so that people can sign up to take a meal.
Oh, wow. I didn't know about that.
Yeah, yeah. So if you know somebody in your world that could use some food for some limited specific amount of time, you can go there and set it up and then let all your friends know via email, and they can give them a link and they can go there, TakeThemAMeal.com.
TakeThemAMeal.com.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And
never heard of it.
Well, it's a very cool thing, and
it's
not the only website that does that, but it is the one I know about, and you can sign up by date and say what you're going to take, and then there's all the details about where you're going to deliver it and all that, but very cool. So we've managed to fritter. We should talk about fritters sometime. We've frittered away an entire half hour, my dear. It's 10 o'clock straight up.